Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively the Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel, joined as always by Damon McDonald. It is Tuesday the 13th of May, 2025. This is definitely episode 361. I've double-checked. There is an episode that went missing somewhere between episode 352 and 353. It was a second round review of the New Japan Cup, which is up there on Patreon, but it's not up on the free feed for some reason. I don't know what's happened to it, but this is definitely episode 361. Hi, Damon.
Hello. Yeah, I know. I did label the other one like 359.60 because, again, there was one missing. I think, actually, you know who called my attention to it was Rich Kreitch. He's like, what number is this, dude? I was like, I'm not real sure. I think Joel said 360 on this one. We'll call it this and we'll figure it out. So there you go. 361. Welcome, everyone, to 361, brought to you by Verizon. How are you? How's it going? How's everything? What's new? What's new in the world of Joel in the great green pastures? new studio he's in? This guy's living the fucking life is what he's doing.
I'll tell you what's new. New episode of Super J-Cast Extra up on the Patreon where me and lovely Andrew from the Discord reviewed Taka Taichi Mania. And I am going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say this is the best analysis of Taka Taichi Mania, not just that show, but as a concept, best analysis of that and discussion of that you're going to get anywhere.
I will say this.
We did a tremendous job. And yep. If you're not already subscribed, get your fucking wallet out, $10, and enjoy that because it's timeless. It was a wonderful piece of audio and everyone should go and listen to it.
Yeah, I listened as and I'll just kind of tease a little bit. Can I give a little tease? Imagine that... The Taichi Mania shows being your gateway to New Japan Pro Wrestling. Imagine that. I think that was pretty well. So, yeah, definitely. I would definitely recommend. That's well worth that alone. Worth your $10. That's faux show.
And of course, Arsenal have bugged it all up, but Maple Leafs still in the chase. So Mark says, does Damon think the Leafs will beat Florida? The series has been amazing so far. Being a Brit who does not watch much ice hockey, I'm loving it.
Ah, I love it. I love the fact that a Brit is in on this. Good for you. It is good. Playoff hockey is tremendous. I wouldn't say you would get the same passion in the middle of January in Columbus, but yeah, it's been very good. We're knotted up. We're tied up at two games apiece, Joel. Terrible weekend for the Leafs. The first night, Friday night, we could have gone up 3-0, and that would have been amazing. First of all, we were up 2-0. First time since the first time in that round, we were up 2-0. We would have 2-0 in that particular round. First time since 1987. The Smiths hadn't even broken up yet. Oasis hadn't even formed yet. So I hadn't even graduated high school yet. So, yeah, that's how long ago that was. But we're tied up. They had a Friday night. Was a very good game. A lot of bad bounces. We had pucks going off our own defensemen into nets and shit like that. And then, Joel, I don't know. We always do this. We, like, our stars just don't fucking show up for games. And they were ghosts. Like, you wouldn't even, like, how can your best players in a game that, you know, would have made things a little bit easier for us, just like 2 shots on goal? You're paid millions of dollars. You need to have more than 2 shots on goal. And that's our core four. But yeah, we play tomorrow night. We'll see what we can do. We're home. That doesn't mean anything because we find ways to shit the bed at home as well. But we'll see. We're tied at 2. And I got to be honest with you. If you told me in September when training camp started that the Leafs would be this deep in the playoffs, tied up at 2, best of 3 basically right now with home ice advantage, I would have taken it in a heartbeat. So here we are. We'll see what happens. Thoughts and prayers. But I love the fact that they're watching. Where can I ask you a dumb question? Where do you, like, what channel broadcasts the NHL in the UK? Sky? I don't even know.
That's a great question. We've actually got Mark in the YouTube chat right now. Mark, if you are there and listening, you can let us know where you're watching this. Because I want to watch now because our season's finished and we've got 2 league games left but nothing to play for. So I'll be up for piggybacking on the end of the NHL stuff and cheer for you guys because, you know, one of us can bring home a trophy and that'd be something I would take equal joy in. The fucking cat, oh my God. I don't know if you can hear it. He's just out like,
I remember the last show going nuts. Yeah, they were it was very vocal. Likes to sing. That's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm curious. And also,
he says Premier Sports. Mark says
Premier Sports. Okay, yeah. There you go. There is a bar in central London called the Maple Leaf, and
I think I've been to that. It's like a Canadian
correct-themed
one. Yes. It's like near Covent Garden, and they serve. Yes. Like rubbish versions of Canadian food, like inauthentic poutine. I've been
correct. I will go there, and I might bring a little bit of Maple Leaf stuff that I have kind of sitting around. I'd be like, hey, if you want it, yeah. So if anybody wants to meet me there during that week, I think I'll be there a few times. And then there's that. I don't know if have you ever been, or maybe you've never heard of it. I'm going to throw it by. There's a bar right near Waterloo Station. And it is called Passyunk Avenue, and it's a Philadelphia-themed bar.
No, not familiar with that one.
It's in, it's right next to Waterloo Station. It's in that, like, kind of like tunnel. There's like a tunnel with a ton of graffiti. It's in there. I mean, we just have to go there once. I mean, you know, I just got to go there once. Should I say? Cheryl's like, we're not fucking staying there. like, no, we're going to real. like, I know, I get it, but I just kind of want to go there once. So shut up. Yes. So there you go. There you go. All right. So there's the Maple Leaf update. Do you want to do? Come on, let's just do it.
Oh, Mally's here. Mally, could you do me a favor? Could you let Scrumpy into the house, please? Because he's just sitting outside here.
I don't like him. Sorry.
But he's ruining my podcast.
I know, but he's ruined my life. Same thing.
Please.
I think life trumps the podcast.
She's always trying to get herself over, isn't she?
A little bit.
Well, you bought him. Right, well, that's that then. That's been dealt with elegantly, as well usual. Sorry, David. What were you saying before we were interrupted?
I don't know. Look, I know a million people want to hear my hot take on a certain subject. I can be delicate. How about that? You want me to try to be delicate?
Not particularly. I was just going to ignore it completely. I mean, there's other people who are going to do the eulogizing better than we can. You will come at it from a very unique and fun
personal
angle.
Personal, spite-filled.
But you would get extremely cancelled, although it would be worth it. I wouldn't care, but I don't. Maybe we save that for the Patreon. Just monetize it.
Just monetize my... Here's the thing. It wouldn't be a rant. It really wouldn't. It would be the guy revolutionized pro wrestling in the early 90s for many people and for videotape traders and opened the door to a lot of people's eyes to what was going on in Japan outside of maybe all Japan and New Japan. He was a game changer in the ring and brought people lots of joy. On a personal level, I'm not the biggest fan. But that's not the time for me to go into that rant. That is a later time, but a man passed away, and it's always
We're biting our tongue so hard here. We're trying.
It's bleeding. My mouth is bleeding. One day, again, I'll give you. I know I shared a lot of stuff on the show before, but I didn't go into every bit. And when we're together, if after a couple Guinnesses, I'll tell the story, dude. It was dicey. So we'll leave it at that. But yes, sorry, I'm not gonna go maniac on you here on the podcast. We're gonna save that. We're gonna bite our tongue.
All right. So I know I said before we started recording, you want to eat your vegetables first and do Resurgence?
Yeah. I know that before we even the text exchange between me and Joel before watching the show was that of dread, and I believe I said I hated you for making me watch the show.
Okay, just out of curiosity, which match were you on when you sent me that text?
It was pre-show. It had just started.
Okay. Oh, all right then. Fine. Well, yeah, we are talking Resurgence from the Toyota Arena in Ontario. Attendance 2,027. Absolute dogshit production, as always. Wouldn't have known there were 2,027 people in there because it was very dark. I suppose that's one way of covering up your shit crowds by just not having any lighting. But yeah, just standard fare for New Japan Strong, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is. They always like that old Mid-South look that just let's highlight the ring and turn off the lights for everybody else. But there were shots. Because when I saw that first, I was like, oh, this crowd's going to be shit. No wonder, blah, blah, blah. And, there were some crowd shots that looked like, it was a decent crowd. But, yeah, I mean, I was definitely worried with production. Camera work was what it was. It's always a little bit shaky, but what have you. But, it did. I was very worried that we were in the middle of a elementary school gymnasium with 40 people. That's the initial look and feel that it had. But actually, the number that you just read off is even better than I thought it was. So, okay, good. Good.
Did you watch any of the pre-show?
Yeah, I watched. I watched everything.
Okay, cool.
So if you want to start there.
So CJ Tino, this is a strong survivor match. CJ Tino beat Alan Breeze. 5 minutes, 25 seconds via pinfall. Look, I was planning to be all snide and shit on this, but I actually thought it was one of the better matches on the card. I might be in the minority there. I thought there's some surprisingly smooth amateur wrestling inspired transitions and nice pinning combinations toward the end. I thought they did well with 5 minutes.
Yeah. When you give people 5 minutes, think of that. It doesn't seem like a long time. Maybe when you're in the ring, it feels longer, but yeah, that's really not a long time to... have people shine. Now, even in the 5 minutes, they did do stuff that, like, you're just like, okay. You know, they got to get something in. Like, again, 5 minutes, what are you going to do? You got to get something in. I would say that we're probably looking at two guys that will never make it inside a New Japan Pro Wrestling proper ring. I think that's a safe bet. I could be wrong, right? I could be proven absolutely dead wrong. I just don't see it, but, you know, I've been wrong before. But the match was fine. It was a good opener. And I think when we go through this show, one of the common themes has to be the fact that everybody did everything they could. And I mean that in both a positive way and in a negative way. During the show. And if of any of the matches, this one felt a little bit different. And if that just was just 5 minutes, if it was just, hey, go out there and do basic shit, whatever the case may be, who knows. But what I saw was good, but yeah, it's the dark match on Strong. You know, you got to start somewhere, right?
Then we have B. Priestley, who made a surprise appearance, her 90-day no-compete is up with WWE. we've not seen her since, I think it was since Will Ospreay hit her with a cutter 4 years ago to hype the Ibushi match. That's a pretty good get for the Strong Women's Division. You know, I like the Strong Women's Division. I think it's one of the better parts of the New Japan of America product. And I don't know, I imagine she's probably AEW bound, but if you can get her for the odd match on Strong shows, then I'm happy with that. Didn't think this match was particularly good. I thought Viva Vamp was sloppy, but served its purpose, didn't it? Basically a debut angle more than a match per se.
Yeah. You know, look, I know that there are times when Strong is not ranked very highly on our list of importance. It is nice to see an option for people to get work. That's one thing I will say. That's good. Is it always the people that I necessarily want to see? No. And we'll go deeper into that, I'm sure. But, you know, if at the very least people are getting work from this and getting paid, then great. Excellent. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to be as brutally honest as you possibly can be. Did you know who it was when she walked through the curtain?
Yeah. No, I'm familiar with her.
I'm familiar with her. I didn't recognize her. Like, what?
I think she's got quite a distinctive appearance. Yeah.
Okay. All right. It took me at least a second, and until they said it, I was like, "Oh yeah, that's right, that's right." I'll be truthful. I probably haven't been as diligent following her career as you have been, Joel. But
who could forget the momentous run of Blair Davenport in NXT UK, wherever it was she was. I've not seen any of her run in the Fed, but I was aware of her after she, but prior to her leaving for WWE, and she's back now. So
I hadn't seen her in 4 years.
Get into it.
Yeah, I haven't seen her in 4 years. You know, it's like I fell off my earth. So, yeah, the match was not great either. But okay, listen, we're gonna give people work. I like it. Thumbs up.
Then we had.
I thought you got rid of the cat.
I don't. Where is the cat? I don't even know where he is. Is he? He's. Oh, for fuck's sake! He's coming here now. And he's meowing at me. Honestly, I try and. If it's not the kids or the wife, it's the fucking animals. He's coming right over now.
Right here. Yep.
Yeah. Is that a tick? Yeah,
give me that mic.
You got a tick.
I got a hot take on B. Priestley. Yeah. What about Doc Gallows?
Oh, there was a tick on him, and I took a pistol away. Gross. Oh, man, this has all gone wrong, Damon. There's me sitting here thinking, oh, look at my lovely spot, and now there's fucking parasites crawling on me.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's dropped on the floor. Okay, that's fine.
Oh,
no. As long as it's not on me. Scrumpy, fuck off, mate. You're crawling with ticks. You're not coming on me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No way. Right. Fred Rosser defeated Matt Vandergriff. 30 minutes, 45 seconds. Crossface chicken wing. I thought Matt Vandergriff looked a lot better here. He's got some new gear. He's got a mask. That is an upgrade on the black yoga pants that he was wearing up until this point. He does work hard. He's quite dynamic. Again, I heard other people quite down on this. I want him to be a punchline, but I don't think he's that bad, really. If he gets in shape, then there might be something.
Thank you. Okay.
He does. He is, don't we? You know, but he does come across as an inherently dislikable person, which could absolutely work in his favor, albeit in a baby's first heel manner, because he bumps quite well. And as much as I'm tempted to just hand wave him, he's actually pretty good here. I mean, the ceiling is strong mid-carder at best, and you know that bar is not particularly high. But I did find him quite fun to watch here, and well done to Fred Ross for being incredibly shiny. There was a lot of reflection going on there. The man was glistening.
Baby oil? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. A little too much baby oil? let's rewind. And one of the two didn't look like a real pro wrestler to me, right? And that can change, right? We can fix that. So for the people who are upset by the little paunch, the little belly, it'll be okay because that can be fixed. What can't be fixed is desire, drive, heart, passion, and you know, even ability can somewhat be improved and enhanced. I thought this match was really good, to be truthful. And my only issue of it was, it was the first fucking match, and they were going balls out. Like, there was a piece.
Well,
they knew
what was coming on the rest of the card. That's why.
Well, maybe because I was like, this is the first match. My goodness gracious!
Should have flipped it around. This should have been the main event. Main event, Matt Vandergriff. The campaign starts now.
Let's go. You could feed him in hoagies. Sorry, that
was Fat Matt Vandergriff.
Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't shame. I'm fatter than both of them combined, but I am not a wrestler. Now, I will also say this: it felt like that they stuck a piece of paper in the locker room with just names with the lineup, and circled whoever was going over and said, "Figure it out yourselves, kids," because. Yeah, there was no idea of, okay, well, let's warm up the crowd. Nope, they just went out there and fucking did their shit, and which was fine, which is good. I mean, I've never been a big fan of the idea of, well, you're going to burn out the crowd. No, just fucking go do your shit. And if it's good, the crowd will still be into it. That said, I did not expect to see the match go, A, as long, and B, them doing as much as they did. There was no warm-up. Like, I guess the dark matches were the warm-up, and they just went headfirst into the fucking pool, and yeah, I didn't think it was a bad opener. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, then we had the strong openweight tag team championship match where Ted Florio and TJP defeated the... Mally's come in the room and is rustling bags around.
Do you have any privacy at all?
No, the disrespect she's showing New Japan Strong here is quite breathtaking. Yeah, they defeated the world-class Wrecking Crew 30 minutes, 12 seconds for a roll-up pin. And no United Empire gear for TJ. Mm-hmm. There was a little admonishing wag of the finger to a fan waving United Empire towel. Templario didn't look very impressed because he's got his fancy green and gold robe and gear that I assume they coordinated in one of those group chats, the merch ideas group chat, not the shit-talking group chat. And that didn't look cheap to me. So all of this effort, poor Templario splashing the cash on that outfit, which I'm guessing is a big expense for him. I don't know what he gets paid in CMLL, Magic Beans or something. And he spent all that money to fit in. You know, he's trying to look cohesive, and now TJP's gone rogue. Templario must be furious. Do you think they have words backstage? Like, TJ, why are you all red? Where's your green and gold? Yeah, spent 6 months of my salary on this. I thought we'd be matching. It's all excited. We're going to throw up the crowns. We're practicing it. You've ruined it now. Aww. Joining House of Torture. They need a new ritual.
I'm joining House of Torture. That's it.
Now, look, the evil Jeff Cobb, he's out of the way.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming the TJP heavyweight push is going to be resumed soon.
Okay.
Seeing as Jeff Cobb was the only thing holding it back. So I'm excited to see where this I'm not actually a member of United Empire storyline goes. Sure, it's going to be really great. I'm sure there's going to be a big payoff for it down the line. So strapping myself in for that. Not like winning the strong tag titles is like a punishment or anything. So there's that. As for world-class Wrecking Crew, I think they put it best themselves. The haters said they couldn't do it, and they were right. So honestly, great call by the haters. Sure, World Tag League is just around the corner if they keep tweeting. Apparently, if you post 1,000 tweets about it being your dream to work for New Japan, then Tsukabayashi he'll make the call. That's the way to do it. But yeah, good match, though. I like the finish. I like Jarrell Nelson's Walton Goggins from the White Lotus face at the end, looking all shocked. That was good. I like this. Really good match.
I did too. I thought it was a very good match. And once again, it goes to show how good of a tag team wrestler TJP is. I thought the Wrecking Crew did very well as well. I thought everybody had their working boots on. That's for fucking sure.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that the idea of TJP as a heavyweight, again, in the United States, all rules are off, right? Everybody's a fucking heavyweight. There is no, you know, everybody wrestles everybody. That's fine, whatever. But that just can't happen in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'm sorry. He was the smallest guy in the ring. And that includes the referee, by the way. So, look. Why do we keep talking about him trying to be a heavyweight? It's preposterous. It's serious.
It's like a weekly segment on the show.
It really
the
is.
The TJP
Who
files.
Gives a shit? Right. Right. No one cares. But that being said, I think he's incredibly valuable, incredibly mm-hmm. talented, and let's put it this way. The titles that they won, they're big boy belts, right? In that promotion, correct?
Open weights.
Open weights. Well, okay. All right. Man, they just won't give it to him, will they?
We'll not hand it to ISIS in this case.
there's just that line that constantly moves. I feel bad for you. All right, but yeah, you're in a step in the right direction for you. All right, how about that? We'll eventually get there. You're open weight champion, not heavyweight champion. You're open weight champion, but that's okay. We love you nonetheless. Good job.
All right, then we had the Good Brothers and Young Bucks defeating the War Dogs. It's funny, on the website, like the English website, for Gallows and Anderson, they're both just listed as Mikinu, which just the Japanese characters for blank. So they're not even, it just says blank, Nicholas Jackson, Matthew Jackson. So they're not even bothered to create profiles for them, it seems, which was probably a good sign. I mean, that's encouraging, isn't it? Now, I'll tell you where War Dogs went wrong here. They shouldn't have put Gedo on their team. They should have just done a 3-versus-3 match because I'm not sure Gedo's very good. Like, I don't want to disrespect the man, but he did seem like maybe a bit of a weak link in this team. It would be like Arsenal fielding a back four of, you know, three high-quality players, Urien Timber, William Saliba, Gabriel Magalhaes, and then 74-year-old Pat Rice at fullback. It's asking for trouble. And I'm not going to get angry about this, Damon. I promise I won't. I'm going to remain calm and level-headed in my analysis of New Japan Strong. I don't have it in me anymore. And I blame the Yankoid imbeciles because this was a silly match for silly people. It's non-canon. It's for an audience of people with brain damage who boo things that aren't from 2017 to 2019, where Gabe Kidd isn't actually the hottest young star of the entire promotion, but he's a pantomime villain who says the fuck word on the microphone in the middle of matches. And the function of the match is to heat up the guy who hasn't been good for 13 years and will be off to Titan Towers like a fucking greyhound as soon as WWE inexplicably decide they want him again for some reason unknown to mortal men. And I'm sure this won't do any harm. Absolutely no badness can come from making the hottest faction full of your most talented young Western stars who've poured their blood, sweat and tears into the dojo to make it in this company have to job to the AEW EVPs and the WWE rejects. I'm sure that'll all be fine, Damon. Nothing to see here. Next match.
I felt the same way, but it was like it was all that was in my head. But my actual physical reaction was a shoulder shrug. It really was. I was like, whatever. Look, again, you're right. You know who you blame? You blame the people in the crowd that were in. They just
it's you.
To see their-
your fault. You made this happen. any listeners who are at the show, this is your fault. You did this.
Yes, we blame you 100%. And again, what was the biggest pop of the night? Or not even the pop, but it was just like you know, like the fucking too sweet. Like, we're too sweeting. People were excited about too sweeting. Oh, my Lord Jesus Christ. What planet am I on? What year is this? Doc Gallows, he can't even do the fucking lift the leg thing. Boot. He had to do it from the side because he had to shift his weight. He just swing his leg around. I'm just like, oh, fucking Christ, what are we doing? Yeah, it's, you know, we got to sell for Carl, the 50-year-old Carl Anderson. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Yeah, the again, one of the biggest factions, and all of them in one ring, you know, all of them, you know, all together on one team. And again, we knew who was lying down in this match. I don't think there was any question about that. I guess, yes, the bigger issue is that, okay, that's how this show is going to go. If you're Rocky's friend, you're in good shape. You're in good shape.
How dare you insinuate that, Damon?
Listen.
The name of our good friend, Rocky Romero, sullied on this podcast.
I didn't sully nothing. As a matter of fact, I praised him because he's obviously a good friend. Like, he's obviously... if you're a pro wrestler, make friends with Rocky Romero. You'll never not have work. You know what I mean? I don't care. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how long you've been out. I don't care. You've got work.
Committed doesn't matter.
That does not matter.
A clean slate.
Doesn't matter. Because he's friendship through and through. That's a good guy right there. That being said, why? I think about the West Coast Wrecking Crew.
You don't think about the West Coast Wrecking Crew. Don't lie to me, Damon.
I thought about them after this match. I did.
So you're lying in bed awake, and your wife's like, "Are you okay, Damon?" I'm thinking about the West Coast Wrecking Crew. I cannot get them out of my head. I'm really concerned about that.
I can't stop thinking of them. After the match, I did. I thought about everybody that was on the undercard and how they've never been to Japan and how they'll they probably never will, and yet. Here we are. We're digging up this fucking grave. What are you going to do? I just kept reminding myself that no matter what happens here, like, of course, there are little threads that have occurred on these shows that carry over and continue storylines. Yes. But by and large, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And the fact that, I don't know. Like, I wanted to sit here and say, nobody came there to see Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson. But I'm wrong, because there were people there to see Doc Gallows. Yeah, and we're excited. Like, and we're excited. So, what the fuck? Honestly, I don't want to criticize people for cheering for who they want to cheer for or whatever. But in my mind, if you bought a ticket and you're a New Japan Pro Wrestling fan, and you got excited about that, then I don't want to say that you're not, because that's gatekeeping bullshit, but you're not. How do you like that?
Gatekeeping is good. Kevin says, what is the Good Brothers ceiling in New Japan in 2025? Yeah, they're going to Japan, aren't they?
Yeah.
Their ceiling is whatever they want it to be. I would not rule out Carl Anderson having a little singles title run. If that's what he wants, that's what he'll get.
Wow. I think... All right. How many matches do we see them in a Japanese prefecture? How many matches?
This calendar year?
Yes.
I will say five.
Wow.
No, three.
Okay. Three. Total between the two.
I'm accounting for tag matches. I'm going to stick with five. So by the time... 2025 is wrapped up. We will have collectively five Good Brothers matches, singles plus tag in New Japan.
I'm hoping the number. Now we have children in there now.
No, it's still the cat. He keeps trying to jump on my lap, But we've reached a compromise. He's sitting on the sofa next to me, and I'm just giving him a little stroke. I'm just scratching his chin. So he stops meowing at me.
I thought I heard them say a word. I was like, your cat speaks
English. Yeah, it was a little meow.
That's adorable. Speaking of adorable, Doc Gallows. Can I ask something that might be a little bit scary?
Yeah.
Will we see either of them in G1?
I'm going to say no, but just because I don't think they will be up for it. That's too hard. It's too much work for them.
It is too much work, but they need the money.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. I hope so. All right. But yes, it was just preposterous, the fact that what we saw, and whatever. Go get them. Good brothers. Get the money. Get the bag.
Strong open weight championship match. Tomohiro Ishii defeated Drill Maloney. 13:39. Vertical drop brainbuster. No, of course, Damon. We can't have a strong show without the Ishii match. Not the good ones, like at Takataichi Mania, which explore the complexities of his interpersonal relationships with his rivals turned allies. No. We like the ones where he does all the forearms and shouts, Kuira! And kicks out a one. That's what we like, yeah. I think it's good, actually, when the 50-year-old man beats all the guys who are the future of the company, because I don't know who they are. But I know who Ishii is, because he was there between 2017 and 2019, and he's been on Dynamite a lot. You know what? Yeah. I also think he should be IWGP champion. I'm going to go make a Reddit post about it. Or I would make a Reddit post about it, but obviously I can't read or write. Good match.
Jeez, who said that? Nobody. You can read and write. I mean, at a very underdeveloped pace, but you can do it. You can do it. You know, there are times when, and again, it's all in good humor, good whatever, but there are times when it stings a little bit when you say Yankoid imbecile, right? It's fair game. You're exactly right. You're exactly right, especially when it comes to this kind of stuff. Because you're right, it's just like Pavlov. Like, there are people that just love the Pavlovian dog-ness of pro wrestling. They want to hear the opening notes of someone's entrance music. They want to stand and sing along. Then they want to sit on their hands, but they want to see the things that they're comfortable with. And they have really no interest in anything but that comfort zone. And I would say that I think people fall into that trap on a lot of things. And I'm not immune to that. I'm guilty of that as well in certain forms of entertainment. It's just like, man, talk about playing the hits. Jesus, Lord Almighty. And I'm not even saying that guys have to go over or not go over. It doesn't matter. But here's what this was, Joel. This was a show that was pandering to that element. And I don't want to sit here and tell you that it's easy. Because, again, everyone had their working shoes on. I don't think anybody didn't. Was it creative working shoes? Did they have their creative working boots on? No. They went out and did their fucking hits. And the hits are good, and you want to hear it, and you want to sing along, and you want to tap your toes. Yes. If that's what you're looking for, that's what you got. I'm going to be truthful. I've seen it a million times. And it makes New Japan Pro Wrestling shows, especially in the States, completely dull and boring to me because it's been done a trillion times. And here's the thing. As long as 2,000 people show up, they're going to do it again and again and again. So, once again, I blame 2,000 people in that audience. I'm sorry. That's the truth. I blame them.
Never Openweight Championship match. Konosuke Takeshita defeated El Phantasmo. 17:48. Raging fire. And yeah, you know what's good, Damon? When you take your favorite meal that you had last year, that delicious, perfectly seared Wagyu ribeye steak that everyone loved. You know what you do to make it even better? Get a glass of water, slop them up. I think I think every great match of the year level rivalry should have Rocky Romero interfering. Yeah. Imagine how much better Omega versus Okada would have been if Rocky somehow did a run in and cost Omega the third fall at Dominion 2018. Just the road not taken, you know? In fact, I think Rocky Romero should interfere in all New Japan Pro Wrestling matches henceforth. It would just be better that way. Remember, like when Yoko Ono started making those weird screeching noises when John Lennon and Chuck Berry were doing a duet? Was good, actually. Yeah, that was good. And you know what makes your baby face really good? We're talking about ELP and what makes them a good baby face. When they have a grueling epic match against their nemesis and they get cheated out of victory and a horrendous miscarriage of justice, and then they just shake hands with the cheaters. That'll teach them. Good match.
I did kind of was like, what happened there? Joel, I saw more Rocky Romero on the show than I've seen. You know, I mean, like, we get it. We get it. We get it. What is it with pro wrestlers who do that so much? Why is he even there? Why is he involved? Why did I see him at every fucking turn? Oh, Lord.
I'm just checking. This is a New Japan show. This is not a talk and shopper mania we've watched by accident, is it?
No, it was. Oh. Yeah. Again, if you're friends with Rock, you're going to get work. And
people misinterpreted all the stuff, all the hints we were laying. We're not talking about Tanahashi versus The Rock. We're talking about Tanahashi versus Rocky Romero.
Correct.
Let the cat out of the bag now. But Rocky's put himself to go over in the retirement match.
Oh, they got to find a way to incorporate that. Play that fucking music and have him come out. I'm The Rock. That would be... Oh, Lord. Listen, if you could find a way to sneak himself in there, I'm sure he would.
Sneaky stuff.
It's you know, all the complaint. You know how everybody complains about Triple H and how the guy cannot find a way to not be in the spotlight? He's got to get the first pop at WrestleMania. He's got to, like, he's always... I mean, look, I'm just saying, we got a pretty similar situation here, don't we? Don't we? We do. We do. Wow, it's amazing what power in pro wrestling does. All right, whatever. It's the oldest moan in all of pro wrestling. The idea of, oh, you got a little stroke in the back. Oh, you're our champion. Oh, okay. All right. We get it. Ole Anderson made a career out of it, for crying out loud. It's the oldest thing in the book. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Joel? But yes, you're what are we going to do?
We had a double main event here. It was an IWGP World Heavyweight Championship where Hirooki Goto and Zack Sabre Jr. went to a 17 minute, 28 second double pinfall in an O'Connor roll. And the thing you have to remember about New Japan fans, Damon, is that they famously love it when world title matches don't have a clean finish.
Yep.
We love that. Because, you know, when a wrestler loses, they feel sad. So if nobody loses, then nobody's sad, right?
Yeah.
Then we're happy. And what was particularly good here, on top of the awkward and contrived nature of the pinfall, which was good, and Goto shoulders actually being off the mat, which was also good, was the ring announcer explaining what happened in a foreign language, because that's the moment where we want the authentic putting the Japan into New Japan of America, right? I like that. I also like it when they make Vader Scott's commentary go really quiet so I can't hear what she's saying. Oh. I'm just guessing. Probably Walker Stewart turning down some dials, you know, making a tough decision that an experienced play-by-play commentator needs to do, just gradually moving down her output volume slider throughout the broadcast, wishing he was doing comms with Taichi, who was just sitting there saying he had no idea who any of the wrestlers were. There were too many baldies on the card. And it's also good when you have your heroic man of the people, wrestler of the year champion, walking around the ring, shrugging his shoulders, looking like a complete tit at the end of the match. Well done. Bravo. 8 out of 10 for the match, 10 out of 10 for the finish. Chef's kiss. No further notes.
No worries. Hey, listen, nobody... It wasn't the main event, Joel, so it doesn't matter.
Well, it was up until a point. I don't know what happened there. Someone made some phone calls and had things moved around. But I'm pretty sure they said this was going to be the main event until it wasn't.
Really? Okay. All right. That's amazing. What a phone call do. Right. All right. Good. Good. That's great. I love hearing things like that. It always just warms my heart. Good job. Good job. Oh, Lord, what are we doing? Yeah. A double pin. I don't mind Zach being a challenger. I don't even mind so much, Joel, as shocking as this may be. I don't necessarily even mind it being the semi-main event. I'm trying to draw a line between real New Japan shows and these shows. Let's just do that. So fine, it's not the main event. Whatever. The idea of a double pin is just preposterous to me. It really is. Okay. So, you know, I would assume that this leads to some type of thing involving Zach and Goto again, whether that's a rematch, whether that's a three-way match, whether that's whatever it is, right?
Oh, now you're talking. We love three ways.
Oh, we do. Oh, we do. Whatever the case may be. And it would be difficult to say, okay, like you can work around, well, I didn't get pinned, I pinned you. Well, I didn't get pinned, I pinned you. Okay, great. We can kind of work that into the, it seems very easy and, you know, whatever. There's absolutely no reason why Zach couldn't have lost. If you didn't want to do the title, and you shouldn't have done a title change, there's really no reason why Zach couldn't have lost. Other than, okay, he's in the picture. And then I'll throw it to you. Are you okay with Zach being in the picture still?
He doesn't feel particularly hot to me at the moment. No. So unless there's some sort of plan that we don't know about, then...
Yeah. I that's exactly what I felt. I felt like, why would they... If that's the plan, then what... Like, what... Like, I don't know. I kind of felt like, oh, we're kind of spinning our wheels a little bit there, aren't we? Like, I just didn't feel like that was... Like, there are a lot of people I would have liked to have seen in that place. If, in fact, again, we're building to something, right?
Suggesting they could have booked, like, a different wrestler.
Oh, shocking.
To lose to Hiroki Goto.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You know, nobody wants to... Like, again, these shows are by and large hand waveable. That being said, this is your world title. This is the most important thing in your promotion. This is the thing that people can hook themselves to buy a ticket. What was that? What are we doing there? Because again, if we're going back and saying, okay, Zach's in the mix again, I'm going to question that. Because when he was champion, like, again, the original chase was hot, I thought. Him winning the title maybe wasn't the best thing, right? So it kind of told you that, okay, we're going to move the title, right? And again, maybe that was the plan all along. Who knows, right? If it does feel that way, that or that it wasn't, and maybe there was a change of heart. Who knows, right? That being said, it's already been established that people don't want to see him as champ. So why would people buy tickets to see him challenge again? Right? Does that make any sense? Like, we've already established that him as champion, again, wasn't a complete shit to bed, but it, you know, didn't do the numbers that we would hoped, right? We already know that. And that means people might have been disinterested in him being a world champion. So the idea of him challenging again, why would anybody buy a ticket to go see a guy that they weren't happy with as a champion?
Well, it's because he's on the poster for Forbidden Door, albeit in a very, very tiny thing. But, can't have him losing matches when Tony's put him on the poster.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's the only thing I can think of, if there's some sort of forbidden door thing being lined up.
You think that's going to be the match that you're going to see?
I don't know. I feel Zach will be on that show. I'm pretty confident of that.
And you think it's Goto? You know what would make it better, though? Darby Allin. Three-way match with Darby. All right. Man, everybody's catching fucking strays. Ridiculous.
Love a three-way match. Double main event. Strong Women's Championship. Three-way match.
Three-way.
Azumi defeated Mina Shirakawa, Mercedes Moné. 17 minutes, 53 seconds. Azumi Sushi. Damon, you know what's better than two wrestlers?
What's that, man?
Three wrestlers. Yeah. It's 50% better. 50% more wrestlers means 50% more action. You want 100% action?
Yeah, 150%
I do. Action. The numbers don't lie. I've been saying for years that the women's division is the best part of Strong. Best way to showcase that is for extremely convoluted three-way spots and a match that's mostly pinfall attempts being broken up. Good match.
Yeah. Yeah, they worked the old, all right, I'm going to take a powder outside and let you guys do what you do, and then I'll come in and, you know, I'll do my stuff with you. Moné making the phone call. Not lying down to nobody.
Oh, no. No way, dude.
I'll drop the title.
It's staring at no what? Lights.
Yeah. But honestly, we probably should have saw that one coming from a country mile away. That's a nice safe landing spot. Nice safe. I'll tell you what. Whew. What an absolute nightmare. I don't even want to say nightmare, but like, what did we gain anything from this Moné experiment? Did we gain, seriously, tell me the truth. Do you feel like, even if it's like 1% gain of interest of, did New Japan gain anything in this experiment?
I think Stardom have gained from it. And I think the wrestlers who've wrestled with her have gained from that.
Okay.
But I don't think New Japan Pro Wrestling has gained from it.
Right. And that's lovely that they gained whatever they gained, whether that be experience or a friendship, an in-ring camaraderie, whatever it is. Do I honestly feel, I'm asking, I don't know. I it's not like I am in the Moné Twitterverse. Imagine that fucking place. Oh, boy. It's not like I'm active there. That's for sure. Were there people that were like, well, you know what? Now I'm a fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling. I am going to kind of say that probably is a little bit unlikely. But, hey, you never know. I'm not saying definite. I'm not saying who knows. I just feel like, What has been gained? And at the time, it did feel like, okay, we got a star in our hands. But boy, has that star, it shined very bright and it has faded and faded and faded and faded. I'm not saying that she's not good. She can be. I'm not saying she's not talented. She can be. I don't know if this was a net positive for New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's all I'm saying, right? She couldn't have lied down. Seriously. She couldn't have dropped the title. Like, if we're going to talk about, she gained experience and friendship and camaraderie and all, like, seriously, you can't lose the Strong title, even if it was some
The problem is she's holding titles for another American television company.
Okay, but that title wasn't on the line, was it?
No, but the fact that she is a champion in that company means that she can't lose anywhere else.
That's preposterous. Like, seriously. Honestly, you're that big of a star. You're that big of a star. Come on. Really? you know what? Maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I would have said, okay, you got a little stroke. You can put your weight around and say, I'm not going to lose. Now you can't lose. Really? You're that much of a name. Come on. Really? Come on. That's why, once again, that's another thing where it's like, was this really a net positive for us? I don't know. I can't lose in Ontario, California, on a New Japan pay-per-view. It wasn't even... Come on. What are we doing? Why? Can we make a thing where... You know how we bail out a World Tag League? I'm willing to do World Tag League if I never have to do these shows again. Can we make that deal? Can we do that? Because I'll watch every fucking show from wherever. World Tag League. I'll watch and review every minute of it. Every fucking second. I'll do it live. If I never have to do this again.
You cannot have the current AEW TBS champion... God. Losing on a New Japan show.
When was the last time you watched?
Think of the damage it would do to that brand. So I'm sure, her employer had some conditions about this appearance.
Oh my God. Then all right, never mind. I mean, I'm just going to say something completely logical, but okay, it's pro wrestling, so okay. All right, so that was that. That was it. What do you think of the show overall? Give me a number between 1 and 10.
We've seen a lot of bad shows in our run, Damon.
We have.
We've seen bad shows. We've seen boring shows. Thinking of like the Bullet Club nonsense of 2018. Summer Struggle 2021. Always come back to that one. Those were some shitty, boring shows.
Yes.
But I think Resurgence is the worst show I've ever watched in the history of the Super J cast. It wasn't just bad or boring. It was actively malevolent. It's like a show crafted with a deep contempt and detest for its viewers, for me specifically. 7.10 on Cage Match, by the way. And nothing to do with the actual wrestlers or their performances whatsoever. They were fine. They were good. I know they're tired. They're exhausted. It's a hell of a lot of shows in a short space of time. So I'm not criticising the wrestlers one bit. The wrestling, for the most part, I thought was actually pretty good.
Yes.
It was the booking that made this such a nefarious show. And there are layers of complexity to this evil that are almost impressive, were they not quite so hateful. Like the timing, announcing Gallows and Anderson 4 days after company legend Naito walks away from the place that used to call home. And that's not just me, right? The Japanese fan base, and yeah, I'm going to speak for them. They see this. They reject it. They know what's going on here. Fucking Tony Khan stooge using this as a vehicle to get bookings for his mates, lunatics, agitators, washed up Fed rejects, grifters, sex offenders. King of Sneaky Star welcomes one and all. Trying to sneak Celebration Martin back into the fold when he thought no one was looking. Not on my watch. We see you. Yes. We know what you are. These are not informed business decisions with the intent of improving a product. It is pure... undiluted, transparent cronyism. So you've got all the young guys who are starting to become stars in Japan, booked to lose to the old men from yesteryear, because building new stars, that's someone else's problem. We're just trying to get the casuals in. And even in the matches with the good wrestlers, like the proper regular New Japan main event talent, they still can't get it right. If you didn't want Zack Sabre Jr. to lose the title match, don't book Zack Sabre Jr. in the title match!
How about that?
Book someone else! And if they're looking for a reason to book a fucking three-way match for Dominion, don't! This non-finish nonsense, it's an embarrassment. That's the kind of slop I expect to see served up to the piggies that watch American wrestling. That's what they like. I don't like this. No self-respecting Shinnohan freak wants this. Really, like this shows a line in the sand where, to me, the change is tangible. We can see and feel the pernicious tendrils of
gankoid imbecile booking infecting New Japan and distorting it and mutating it into a grotesque facsimile of the product that it's claiming to be. You know that bit in RoboCop where Emil drives into the toxic waste and he comes out the back all fucked up and he's like, help me! And you're just waiting for Clarence Boudicca to drive around the corner and smash him into chunks, put him out of his misery. That's where we are now with New Japan Strong. You said it, Damon. This is the cheapest, lowest pandering to the casuals. And it feels completely disconnected from the authentic New Japan that we love. You know, for better or for worse, it's not perfect. But it's done in a way that belies a complete lack of confidence in that product. You said it. How does you're talking about specific, you know, reigns about Mercedes Moné. This show, how does this help? Where's the long-term vision if we're propping up the corpse of New Japan from 8 years ago, sprinkled with some shitty US wrestling booking tropes? Like, how are we getting these fans to come back next time if we're serving up this pig's will? Why is Gabe Kidd not front and center being the nailed-on star that he is? Where's all the other young stars? Where's Tsuji, Uemura, Oiwa, Bolton, even Callum Newman?
Yeah.
This show that we've just watched, Resurgence, who are the young stars that are getting the spotlight to hook the fans who've watched it, who've bought a ticket or watched it online, to get them excited to tune into the next show or to sign up to New Japan World? Because this is not New Japan Pro Wrestling. This is unworthy of the line mark. I'd rather watch a House of Torture produce show than this crap. Shit production, awful sound quality, Anderson and Gallows 15 years past their prime beating your hottest faction, Rocky Romero interference in a rematch from last year's match of the year, ridiculous non-finishes in your world title match, Mercedes doesn't want to do the job, and they want us to pay extra for it!
Right.
The fucking cheek of them to charge $20 for that absolute shit show. I'd rather pay $20 to get punched in the face. That'd be quicker and less painful than this show was. This is dog shit. Honestly, the world would be a better place without New Japan of America at this rate. I'd put my children to bed at night, sleeping better, knowing that they lived in a world without New Japan of America. It's a scourge. It's a blight on Western civilization, and everybody involved in its existence should hang their heads in shame. 7 out of 10. Good show.
Again, I'm happy that people are working. I'm happy that people got some money in their pocket. All fantastic. But what more is there to be said? We nailed it. I am begging. The only thing I'll add is this, Joel, is that remember when New Japan shows in the United States were special? Remember when, even though in hindsight, you know, it was a bit of a burial job on Ring of Honor, but the shows were really good and felt special, and they have just burnt that to the ground. Like that is dead. New Japan in the United States is fucking dead. It's, and the fact that you're right, it's just, you said it, you said it better than I can. I pray to the pro wrestling god above, let's stop this, please just stop it. Or you know what, just run shows, just don't televise them. You know what I mean? Don't make me sit there and have to watch this. If you want to run a show, just fucking run the show and do whatever the fuck you want to do. But for God's sake, please put the cameras away, because I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it.
Derek says, how non-canon is New Japan Strong when you have old Bullet Club who have no stakes in the future? Come and beat all the guys you need to get over. And Factory Doreen, Direct Marine and RV says, how cooked are we? Are the recent departures, bad US shows, return of Gallows and Anderson, etc., enough to say it's so over again? Or is there still hope? I mean, no. I mean, like I said, the wrestling, it was fine. It was pretty good. But we see the bigger picture. We see the trends. The writing's on the wall. And this is just, it's done.
And you know what I love? I would love to hear from people who weren't booked on these shows. I would love to hear from people who, like, again, Whatever. You know what? It's just making me angry. That's all it's doing. That's all it's doing, because you're right about every fucking point. And here's the thing. They fucking know it. And no one. No, you know what? I talk to people who work on those shows. What do you think of that? I talk to people who work on those shows. And the people who just put their hands over their eyes and their head in their hands and just like, oh, I just got to power through it. Like, it's nobody thinks this is a good idea. No one. No one.
I can think of one person who thinks it's a good idea.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately, it's the person with the book.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these things are the greatest things to slice bread. All right. Okay. Here's the thing. Like, I want to just say, all right, let's just fucking move on and get, just ignore it, whatever. But you can't. Because we could have very easily been like, you know what? Fuck that show. It doesn't even deserve our time. It doesn't even deserve our breath. The wrestlers themselves did everything they could, right? Again, let's be very clear. But there are many people who look at that show and are just that just shake their head and think, what's happening? And the people that listen to this dumb fucking show, they know we're right. And the people who are going to question everything that you said, which was 1,000% exactly how I feel, like, I want you to look in the mirror a little bit and are you watching this just because it's just like 2 hours to kill? Like you're not interested in hockey. You're not interested in basketball. You're not interested in fucking baseball. You give a shit about Champions League. Like, you just want to watch a brain dead wrestling show. There are people that do that, and go for it. Not going to tell you what to do and what not to do. But honestly, if you're if you call yourself a New Japan Pro Wrestling fan and you turned off that show and were like, yeah, woo, that's what I need in my life. Like, I gotta have a long conversation with you. I really do. Because I just don't know where your head is. I don't know. And I know there are people, oh, look at this guy's getting so upset over a New Japan show. Well, because the bigger picture is everything that we've outlined. Like, and if you can't see that, and you can't see that that is a negative, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you.
We can't do this thing where we just look at the in-ring stuff and be like, oh, 3.5 stars, good match, decent show, 7 out of 10. Because that's just absolute smooth brain nonsense, right? We've got to call this out for what it is and see the trends and see the patterns, because this is so much more than just the performances and the star ratings.
Correct.
And it's deeply worrying to me.
It's a slap in the face to people who actually watch the product. That's really what it is. I hate to be that dramatic about it, but it's a slap in the face to the people who actually watch the product. It's a slap in the face for the people who sit through, you know, Road 2 shows. It's a slap in the face to people who buy tickets and travel overseas and spend so much money, and they take their entire PTO and they dedicate it to New Japan Pro Wrestling. And trust me, there are lots of people that are that way, whether they live in Australia, whether they live in the UK, whether they live in the Yankoid imbecile land of the United States, whether they live in Canada.
They're not going to these shows. The New Japan fans are not going to these shows. These shows are appealing to WWE fans.
And Bullet Club t-shirt wearers. Yeah. That they can dust off, you know, out of the closet t-shirt that they haven't worn in 25 fucking, not, you know, I take that, but they wear it every fucking weekend. You kidding me?
Given up completely on trying to do any kind of semi-authentic representation of what New Japan is.
Yeah.
And knowing who is booking this and what their creative vision for it is, it's just so disturbing.
Yeah, it is. But at the end of the day, though, Joel, you know what? I'm going to say this right now. It's not Rocky Romero. Because I'm going to be honest. If I had it, guess who would be my lead announcer? Joel Abraham. you know what I mean? Like special guest referee, Andrew Rich. You know what I mean? Like, I would do it. Okay, it's the people above him. It's the
enabling this.
Correct. The fact that nobody looked at this and said, wait a minute, what? What are we doing? We're not doing that. Like, that's the problem. And if there's no one above Rocky, then that's the problem. Because if he's just going, because he would do exactly the same thing I would do. I'm not blaming him. I mean,
no, Ghetto was on this show. Ghetto's participating in one of the matches and staring at the lights, allowing it all to happen. He's not getting away without any criticism here.
You would, right. Well, that's true too. You know, it's not like no one was there. It's not like
Rocky's right. gone rogue.
Right.
New Japan is suddenly finding out about it. He's done what?
Well, yeah. Well, trust me, that's happened many times before in the past. What's happening with our titles? Right. Okay. We know we've been there before, but you would hope that, you know, there's somebody above, you know, checks and balances. And if there's not, then I blame the company. And here's the thing. Ghetto, you're right. He's right there. He's fucking taking a fucking magic killer, whatever the fuck it's called. The fucking gallows in here. Yeah. I mean, did they think nobody was going to watch this? That's really the feeling I get. That they
maybe the price to get $20 was them trying to get people not to watch it.
Right. Nobody's going to buy this.
They were actively trying to dissuade people from tuning in, though. It's like, look, this is going to be bad. If we put a $20 pay-per-view, it'd be fine. People won't watch it. They're not going to talk about it. We'll probably get away with it.
Right. We spent 1 hour and 9 minutes talking about it, kids. You're not getting away with it. You're not. Please don't run another show. And if you do, please don't televise it. That's the best thing I can tell you.
All right. Don't let us find out about it. If you can somehow disguise it and hide it from our awareness, then yeah.
I would love to hear from a lot of the professional wrestlers that slide into Joel's DMs. I would love to hear some feedback. I would love to hear what a lot of the guys who blood, sweat, tears, travel, lack of sleep, all of that. I wonder how they feel about shows like this. I'm very curious. Very curious.
Right. Best of Super Juniors. Get into it. Yeah, a good, really good preview from John Carroll, J. Michael. If you've not already read it, that's up on Voices Wrestling. Excellent stuff. They work really hard, as usual, to set the table. And although the tournament's already started, it's still will enhance your enjoyment of the tournament by going to read that. So please do it. Night one, Kevin Knight was on commentary. He was very good. I'm just going to skip straight to the block matches. So we had Nick Wayne making his debut here. He defeated Sho, 10 minutes, 43 seconds, Prodigy Plex. That was a pretty solid opener. Sho being Sho, doing his heel shtick. You've all seen it 100 times. It was an understandable choice to be the foil for Nick Wayne. Build up a bit of babyface heat with a new audience. I thought he sold the arm pretty well. The offense was clean. Presentation was good. Not bad from first outing. It was fine.
Yeah. I like the idea of the opening matches too. Like the opening week, we'll say, or, you know, a couple days. Because you are due for some decent surprises, right? There's always that guys getting out of the gate real quick that you maybe wouldn't expect. So, yeah, I did enjoy the finish. I enjoyed everything about the match, actually. I thought it was fine.
Then we had, Dragon Dyer defeating Yoshinobu Kanemaru 10 minutes, 51 seconds by a sunset flip. Kanemaru seemed to be making some really distracting panting noises. I don't know if it was just me, but I found it really, really distracting. Like the whole way through the match, it was like, but yeah, the layout was very similar to the last match, working over the knee, not the arm. I thought it was fairly well executed from Kanemaru, well sold by Dyer, but following the exact same tropes as the previous match, seemed like something you'd want to avoid. I don't know if this was like a product of the fact they had to do mixed block on this show because Clark Connors was making his valuable appearance at Resurgence, so they couldn't do all A block and then all B block. But there's nothing wrong with the match, just quite distracting to be sitting there thinking, guys, we just did this.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because I kind of felt the same way too. But yeah, I mean, again, I like the idea of guys that maybe didn't expect to get wins. But yeah, it did feel like a little bit of a, like there was a template somebody posted in the back, and they're like, all right, everyone follow this. Right? So yeah, all right.
We had Kosei Fujita defeating Francesco Acura, 12 minutes and 3 seconds with a thrill ride. This is more like it. This is a proper best of the Super Juniors. Two of the brightest young stars in the division. I'm sure future junior champions here. Match that could end up not only being really significant in how the block plays out, but also to me feels like the makings of a really good generational feud in this division. Mm-hmm. They were fast and dynamic, both working their socks off. Lightning quick counters. Akira was like a pinball zipping around the place. I thought Fujita's German suplexes really stood out. They were nasty. Yeah, great stuff.
Yeah, what you said about it being what we're seeing now is kind of like the prelude to what we'll see in 2 years, right? With both of these guys on top, probably fighting for this very championship, this very trophy, if you will, and the title. And I don't think anybody's going to complain about that. I think, obviously, both guys have much more in the tank, even now. And imagine what 2 years would bring. But even with that said, I thought the match was pretty damn good. The stonks? Like I'm buying all of them. To me, those are blue chip stocks. Those are, you know, Microsoft in 1981. Or was Microsoft a thing in 81? I don't know. Who knows? Invest heavily in both.
But Hiromu Takahashi defeating Kushida, 30 minutes, 3 seconds, maximum the holding.
I think a lot of people. Works for New Japan, huh?
expectations pretty high going in, considering the storied rivalry. I was struggling a bit with it early on because yet more limb work, which I'd had quite enough of by that point. Thank you very much. But they kicked up a few gears towards the end. There were some nice callbacks to their previous matches. Thought the striking was good, some nice pin and exchanges and reversals. And a satisfying payoff to the legwork in the end with a submission win that always gets a little bonus from me. So, yeah, they got me back by the end.
I hope he has, and I'm talking about Kushida, I hope he has like some kind of office job or something along those lines. Like he is quickly become New Japan Junior Dad, right? It in the same world as maybe not quite as far, but like, you know, he's the Taguchi Kanemaru kind of in that world, right? With that said, I think if given the opportunity, he could be a guy that if you leaned on him to produce an excellent quarterfinal, semifinal, final even, he could do it. But, I mean...
I'm good. I'm all right.
I exactly right. You know what I mean? Exactly right.
He should get in his time machine and
go
back to 2015 and then bring his 2015 self to his best of the Super Juniors.
Does he still have the best music in all of pro wrestling? Does he still have
the best? He does. And every time I hear it, I think of the Surfing Dogs.
I love it. You know, I told you. That was going to be our theme music. You know that.
Yeah.
It was going to be between what we have right now, Hiroshi Hase's.
I think the song is more synonymous with us than it is Hiroshi Hase. I think I'm claiming ownership of it.
Do you remember the one time that he showed up for some fucking event? And it might have been Kevin Kelly. And he's like, I thought it was you guys coming out. I thought that was pretty funny. Oh, Kevin Kelly. Where have you gone? All right. Don't answer that. Where are we going next?
Desperado defeated Titan, 14 minutes, 10 seconds, numero dos. Great match, crazy dives, topes. I particularly like the bit where Despy tripped up outside and went sort of headfirst into the end. And that was quite scary. That could have been really nasty. I bloody love Titan. He's incredible. It was a great performance. He's so smooth and powerful. He's like a video game character. He's like something of Tekken, just the way how everything flows. He's just I don't think he gets enough love. He's a guy who, like, we know what he's capable of when he gets the tap on the shoulder. But I would love for him to go deep in this tournament because he's so fucking good.
Yeah, he's one guy that I wish they picked up, like permanent thing. And I know that the likelihood of that happening is slim and none. And Slim just fucking walked out the door. He's incredibly talented. And he makes everyone that he's in the ring with a little bit better. Like, name me a bad Teton match. Like, I don't know. I've yet to see it. There are obviously ones that are better than others, but I just find him to be such an enjoyable watch. And the thing that he does, and I know this might seem a tad bit cliche, but he makes the hard shit look easy. And it's not like with indifference. It's with seriousness, but he just does shit. Even the basic stuff he does so well that he also, you know, finds ways to make the very difficult shit look incredibly easy for him. And that to me is just, there's guys that do stuff that it looks as difficult as it should, right? And that's not a knock. But then there's guys like him who can do stuff that you would think, okay, well, how does a body fucking do that? And he does it just like smooth as butter. So what could have been if we just doled out a little bit more money? Maybe. Who knows? Probably not. But maybe Lucha Blog could put in a good word. I don't know.
And then we had a show on Sunday in Miyagi. And again, I'm going straight for the block matches. We had Ninja Mac defeating Robbie X, 7 minutes, 48 seconds with a shuriken kick. Great opening block match. Lots of flippy fun. Flips through all the family. That incredible ramp flipping from Ninja Mac, which went a bit viral. Apparently everyone backstage was popping for that. They loved it. And then the flip into the flip kick and then Robbie doing a flip bump. Excellent finish. 4 flips out of 5. Derek says, how viral is Ninja Mac and how did the company manage to not delete and block everyone who saw it? And Nathan said, if there were no walls and no Robbie X, how far do you reckon Ninja Mac could backflip? He would have backflipped his way all the way back to Tokyo, I imagine, straight into the Tokyo Bay. But yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a novelty, Ninja Mac, but I feel that with this match and maybe that moment, then he's got a lot of eyeballs on him.
Yeah. I mean, I know people who don't watch pro wrestling at all that mentioned that to me and saw that in their feed. So yeah, it did get plenty of eyeballs. Does that necessarily translate into, okay, I got to now watch Best of the Super Juniors? Probably not. Maybe. Let's put it this way. It doesn't hurt, right? You know, and sometimes it's that kind of stuff where it's physically daunting. Like, I can't imagine me doing anything like that. But in a context of pro wrestling, was it the biggest pro wrestling move you've ever seen? No, but do you necessarily need that for something like that to happen? A little bit of silliness to it, but yeah, I mean, it's pro wrestling, right? Why not?
Yeah, I think Best of the Super Juniors needs a bit of silliness in it, a bit campiness, like a variety show, isn't it? Well, no, because we got serious Taguchi. We'll get onto that. We had Mao defeating Kevin Knight in 9 minutes 34 seconds with the what is it? EI kick? I can't really read what that says. I think it's it's like a capital I, then an A, and then an I. Don't know how to pronounce that. Sorry. He had a bit of the sillies in him, Mao, being a DDT wrestler that he is. But yeah, I was quite impressed with him. He's got a unique style. It's very dynamic, very fun to watch. Lacking a little bit of impact, but I suppose you could say the same about Kevin Knight, really. They're quite similar in a lot of ways. And yeah, this match was a lot of fun. Not the tightest, most coherent match, but it's what I want to see in the mid-card, the Best of the Super Juniors. You know, your speed, your flips, a lot of creativity, a lot of ambitious spots. Everyone's having a lovely time.
Yeah. It felt like, I don't know if dangerous is the word, maybe reckless, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I want for Best of the Super Juniors. I want that recklessness of it, of, okay, I'm going to do this crazy fucking thing to get a win, right? Keep people on their toes.
Echoes of Osprey Ricochet, perhaps?
I think there were a couple nods to it, right? A couple little wink, wink, nudge, nudges to it. Sure. Aside from old heads, you know, fucking, you know, with their VHS tapes. There aren't a lot more famous New Japan Pro Wrestling Best of the Super Junior matches than that, Ricochet and Ospreay. So maybe a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge to it. Sure, why not?
So I've just been distracted by a buzzing noise.
No.
Sounds like some sort of alarm. Oh, it stopped now. No, we're fine. Okay, then we had Clark Connors defeating Master Watto, 10 minutes, 35 seconds, no chaser. Really good match. I think Clark is developing very nicely as a singles wrestler. He's finding compelling ways to fill those moments between the big spots. He's using his physicality well. The fit with the tire was very funny. He was talking to the tire backstage. There's always going to be room in my heart for Power Juniors. I thought Watto, a great dance partner here. They're surprisingly good chemistry. I didn't have low expectations or anything going in, but they just meshed really well. I thought Watto helped make Clark look like a killer. And yeah, so he is a junior champion. So Clark has pinned him. So maybe he's going to challenge for the junior tags at some point. So we'll stick a pin in that. Captain Gonzo says, do you think if Master Watto stopped doing his goofy pose from the second turnbuckle at the beginning of every match, he would instantly become the Grandmaster? Yeah, I am waiting for him to stop being way to the Grandmaster and become the Grandmaster. But
it's a long way.
Yeah, it's hit very far. Miles and miles. Yeah, it was really good. Good match.
Me too. I did think so as well. The one thing that I know I'm fascinated by the logistics of pro wrestling and Clark Connors kind of, you know, just think about, I think about travel a lot, right? And how it stresses me out. And I'm sure that when you're a pro wrestler, you become accustomed to it and becomes second nature to a certain degree, but still just think about like what he's done, you know, just on the body. And it's not like he's going there on fucking holiday, you know? It's like, it's in and out and back on an airplane and back to the grind of, you know, it's amazing to me. I'll never forget Wrestle Kingdom. I forget what year, never forget, but I just remember this one part where it was right after Wrestle Kingdom, we met up with people at, that Denny's that's there right at the Tokyo Dome Hotel. You know how you go through those double sliding doors and there's like a little gift shop. And then there's like Sizzler, fucking Sizzler. And we're in there and, oh, who's the, who do we meet there? Who's the guy that does stuff for Meltzer where Meltzer gets all his Japanese news?
Fumi
Sato. Yeah. We met him there and we had dinner with him and we're watching Zach kind of run through that pathway, like into the Tokyo Dome Hotel. And he was talking to somebody. He's like, I gotta catch a plane. I gotta fly out tonight. He's going, I think he was working like a Rev Pro show or I don't even know. Or maybe it was like XWX in Germany or some shit. But I'm just like, holy shit. The guy was just in like, you know, a pretty noticeable match on New Japan's best show of the year. And then he's got to just fucking jump in a plane. And like, I don't know why that sticks in my head, but like the travel that then the miles that pro wrestlers put on their body, especially guys. Well, I can't even say especially guys that aren't in like WWE because they travel just as much or more. Just that element of it is just people seem to forget. They don't just magically show up at your fucking arena. They're traveling. And I still giggle about the one thing where I told you my schedule for fucking July. And you're like, you're going to be fucking toast by the time you get to see me. And I'm like, yeah, I probably will be. I can't imagine then having to get into a ring and take bumps. Fuck all that. Whew. God bless them. God bless pro wrestlers.
Yeah, if you think about like the logistics of, like, he must have been straight out of that match from Resurgence.
Right.
Straight on a plane, overnight, Tokyo. It's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. Where was that show at? I forget.
The Ontario. Show we were talking
about. Was it?
Oh, the Resurgence was Ontario. This is in Miyagi.
Miyagi. Okay. So, I mean, it's not like it's a direct flight to Miyagi, right? Yeah, there's a lot involved, man. There's a lot involved. So, good job. I mean, the fact that he's there and even performing at any level, is 1,000% better than anything I could do. That's for sure.
Robbie Eagles defeated Yo, 15 minutes, 2 seconds, Ron Miller special. I don't know, man. These extended Yo control segments were zero heat. Not doing it for me. Just bizarre match layout. Yo dominating to no reaction, and then Robbie getting a submission at the end. Yo made Robbie boring. Like, that's a crime.
Yeah.
It's got an answer for that.
Well, listen, everybody loves Yo, right? Everybody's got a fucking boner. He's the future of the fucking... All right. Well, okay. That's what you get. That's what you got.
Who said that? No one's ever said that.
Everybody said it was him and Master Watto were going to be the fucking... the future of New Japan Juniors. Okay. Okay. I believe it was your wife who said that.
She is always banging on about Yo.
Third mic when she got one.
Yeah. All right. Then the main event, of course, it was in Miyagi, so we had to do the Sailor Boys thing. Taguchi defeating Taiji Ishimori, 60 minutes, 48 seconds with Omai and Garankul. Yeah, I've been waiting for Big Match Gooch to come back ever since he had one serious match with Hiromu in Best of the Super Juniors during the pandemic. And he was really grumpy and he was just like, right, no more fucking about, and was just sort of laying into Hiromu, and it was awesome. And I've been hoping he would channel that at some point. And although we didn't quite get that here, we did get Big Match Gooch. And it's just like one of those nice little reminders, like, oh yeah, he can still do it. Even if he is going to be crap for 95% of the time, these little moments are memorable and make you smile. So well done both of them. Really good match. You know, both guys get a lot of criticism and stick, rightly so, a lot of the time for sort of phoning it in, but they had the working boots on today and it was really good.
It is amazing, once again, that you get the tap on the shoulder and they can deliver. How old is Gooch at this point? It's got to be at least late 40s. And again, it's not like he's working a gigantic schedule throughout the entire year and you're asking him to do, you know, main event type matches, but again, the fact that he's able to do that even now, at his ripe age. Sometimes I think, is it harder to do that? Like to say, okay, I need one match out of you a year, right? Or maybe two, right? A year. As opposed to kind of delivering that on a more consistent basis. Like, does your body kind of get used to being at that level? Or is it more of a shock to the system when you get that tap and it's like, oh, I got to do this. I can't. How am I going to do that? You know what I mean? But he delivers. I'll never shit on him. Well, I will shit on him for beating Liger. But aside from that, I'll never shit on him because, you know, look, do I expect it throughout the year? No. But when he does get a tap, he does still to this day deliver.
And that's it. That's all the Best of the Super Juniors we've got. So let me finish up, Damon. One question for you from Jack, who says, who do you predict to make the final and who wins?
Okay. I never write on these, by the way. I don't know why they ask. I never get it right. Do you think there's any chance Clark Connors could be in the mix?
Yeah, I think there's a chance.
Okay. Would I be silly to say he makes it to the finals?
Probably, yeah. I don't know. I mean, would you like me to bring up the matches on the final night? Because I went over this with Andrew, so I think I predicted a Robbie versus Fujita final, which...
Really?
You know, that'd be something, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it would be. Which would be interesting, to be quite honest.
So A block, I'll go through the matches. This is in no particular order, but you can probably sort of pass out from this which ones are going to be significant, if I'm looking at the correct one. I think I am.
He's looking at the 2016.
We've got Kyle O'Reilly and Chase Owens. No, so Ninja Mac, Dragon Dyer.
Insignificant.
Probably nothing, yeah. Fujita against Clark Connors.
Well, there you go. Um, I really think Clark Connors has something this year. I really do. I don't know why. Maybe I just have a hard on for his fucking travel schedule. Fuchita's though is pretty. It's a pretty good pick too. I think that'd be a significant match. But I'll why not stick with my guns? Why not? Let's be silly. Let's go Clark Connors.
Hiromu and Robbie X.
I don't think it'll be as significant as people think, but okay.
And I wonder, actually, would that have been Hiromu versus Bushi before Bushi pulled out? Kushida against Francesco Akira.
You think Kushida's going to be in the mix?
I think he might be acting as like a final
boss kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, for Akira. Like, Akira's got to beat him to get through.
That's not a bad pick either for a final, but okay.
And Watto against Kanemaru.
It'll probably have some significance, but I kind of like the idea of the previous match. I'm going to stick with Clark Connors. What the fuck? Why not?
Yeah, I like it. I respect it. B block, then we've got Taguchi versus Kevin Knight.
No, it'll have no bearing.
Despy against Robbie Eagles.
That will, absolutely. I mean, that's, to me, that might be who's making it to the final. So either one of those, you could easily pop into a final match. So, okay.
Yo versus Ishimori. And I'll caveat this one by saying Yo is the one half of the tag junior tag champions.
Right.
And Clark has pinned the other half. So.
I would think it would have some significance, but I do like the idea of the Despy and Robbie Eagles being the match. So I'm going to see neither of those.
Titan and Nick Wayne?
Will have no bearing.
And Mal versus Show.
They could decide to do something strange in the sense of, outsider. But I'm going to say no. I think that's your money match right there, Robbie and Despy.
Okay, so what's your pick for the final then? Clark versus who's going through B block?
You think they would do like Clark Despy?
I don't know if you would do that because then Despy's already the champion. So then either Clark wins and then is immediately facing Despy again at, I don't know, Dominion or whatever.
Good point.
Or Despy's winning the whole Best of Super Juniors as champion, which...
Has Robbie Eagles ever won it?
No.
Would you do that?
I would. The only thing that gives me pause there is that putting two foreigners in the final.
Right. Maybe, you know what? Who was it you? Did you come up with the Robbie versus... the interfaction match?
Yeah, Robbie against Fuji, so that's...
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see that, though, do you?
Yeah, I did. That's my pick. I mean, I always get my pick. I always get picks wrong, so I'm not going to tell you to take that one to the bank or anything. And I like the fact that I always get it wrong because it means it's unpredictable. So.
Right. And it's not like we're sitting here with fucking pen and paper. At least I'm not. I still want to stick with Clark Connors. Why not? Fuck it. Why not? I'll say Clark. I'll still say Clark and Despy. Why not? What the fuck? They do dumber things than that. So why not? We'll stick with it.
All right. Lovely. Any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
No. I'm good. I think we said our piece. Your hair was in the toilet. It was in. Oh, your hair was in the water. Disgusting. I said my piece. Great line.
Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.